everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, good news in the rainy, in the rain front. Last week,
rain front, get it?
Rain front, yep.
Okay.
Last week you said, well, Bill, the monsoon summer thunderstorm season officially ending September 30th, and you asked me, do I think that it will carry over? And I said,
yes. Have more rain.
And there's like a chance of rain right up into Monday, which is Columbus Day, and I don't think there's any rain for next Tuesday, but it's a 20 to 40% chance.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, it's happening.
And how about yesterday's official high was only 69 degrees?
Isn't that incredible? And this morning, and I posted something on Facebook about this saying, we are no longer at the hint of autumn in the air. This morning when I went outside at 6:30, it was like I checked the old thermometer in the garden, 58 degrees, and this did have the first feel of cool morning air since probably last May.
I think we're seeing summer in our rear view mirror.
I hope so. Today is Wednesday. It's October the 5th, 2022. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Thing Zilkalo Village Studio. We are delighted that they have the naming rights to our show when we do the studio show, and which we do always, the studio right here at 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed, the 24/7 feed from kvoi.com. When we do our live line, that's our telephone line, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Today we're going to take a really kind of an unusual thing for the Buckmaster Show to devote an entire hour with one guest, but he certainly is knowledgeable on a bunch of different topics, and we've got the whole hour to talk about all these citizen initiatives, and there are 10 of them on the ballot, and we want to go over all of them, but we'll have other things to speak with General Ted Maxwell as well. General Maxwell leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO. He's been in that position since 2018. His nearly 34 years of military service includes 15 years in active duty Air Force and an additional 19 years in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a major general in 2018. His final military position was Commander, Arizona Air National Guard. He is a graduate, proud graduate of the Air Force Academy. In 2021, Governor Ducey appointed the general to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. So hopefully we'll have some carve some time out to talk about transportation. He also is the Arizona Department of Transportation representative on the very important 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board. That's the RTA Board of Directors. In addition, he also talks a little about, he also is involved with water. He's currently serving on the Governor's Water Augmentation, Innovation, and Conservation Council. We welcome General Maxwell to the show. General, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. Always good to be here. A little bit of pressure put on me since
it's unusual to do a one-hour guest, but with you, we could probably talk 2 hours.
Well, based on the 10 ballot propositions we're going to be seeing, and then transportation, and then water, and some other things you've talked about here on the table. It's going to be a busy hour.
So how does something get on the ballot when the voter looks and sees a ballot proposal? How did it get there?
Well, there's three ways that the ballot propositions can make it to the ballot, and really two: citizens' initiatives and the state legislature. But the state legislature can put two different type of ballot initiatives onto the or ballot prop. Propositions on to the ballot. One is if it's a actual constitutional amendment, and so all the numbers that begin with one, all the propositions that begin with the 100 series, those are legislature referred constitutional amendments. So they require, because it's a change to the Constitution, they require a vote by the citizens. And then once it's voted on by the citizens, it then also falls under the Voter Protection Act and cannot be changed, like all Constitution amendments, without a vote of the people. The other ones they can do, and that's the 300 series, those are also legislative referred to the ballot. Those are state statutes. Now, sometimes those are the ones that they refer to the ballot. Sometimes those can be sent to the ballot by the citizens collecting signatures saying that state statute, a law that was passed, they want to go to the ballot. But either way, those 300 ones just change state law. But again, once they're voted on, they are protected through the Voter Protection Act in here in Arizona and cannot be changed unless it goes back to the people. So the legislature can send two different ways, two different types on. But the citizens, and that's the 200 series, so we've got, you know, 209 and 211 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Those are ones where they have to collect signatures.
And thus, there are only two because it's a really harder process to get on the ballot.
It's a much harder process to get on the ballot. And if it's a constitutional amendment, then they've got this year it was about 350,000 signatures they have to gain. And if it's a statute, it's just under 250,000. It's based on the number of voters that turned out, and it changes after every major election, but it's always a significant number. Quite often, those folks need to turn in 1.5 to 2 times the number of signatures to get them through the process of signature validation. We talked earlier on one of your shows there was going to be 3 citizens initiatives possibly on the ballot, and they all collected what we thought were a lot of signatures, and they would probably all appear, but the citizens initiative that was going forward about free and fair elections did not qualify, and it was because the number of signatures that were invalidated when it was reviewed by the county and the state.
Who sets that signature limit?
That is set based on the percentage, a set percentage of the number of voters from the last election.
Hmm.
And it's, I believe, and I'm not positive, I should know this one, but I think it's 10% for the state statute. So we had about 2.5 million voters last election or so. And but for this constitutional amendment, it's like 15%.
And to validate, they don't validate every single
They do it with a process.
Okay.
There's always appeals to the process. They start with about, I believe it's a 5% count.
Okay.
So that's still a lot.
Yeah.
That's still a lot. But then they can also be appealed. And the counties are also responsible for doing their own count as well. So when you combine the state count and all the individual counties count, then that gives them what they believe would be the average if you counted them all. Now, that can be appealed. They can ask for a further, and they slowly increase the numbers. But that's why we always say the citizens' initiatives almost always end up in court, because they're going to get a signature argument against them at minimum. But then there's also, is it really legal the way it's written? Because one of the challenges, and there's several of the bills this year that the legislature forwarded, have to do with citizens' initiatives.
Yeah.
Because we've in the western part of the country, a lot of states have citizens initiative processes. It was kind of as we came forward west. I mean, mm-hmm. Not everybody realized Arizona was not allowed to join the union as a state the first time they applied.
I didn't know
because they gave too much. The federal government felt they gave too much power to the citizens, particularly with federal judges.
Wow!
So they had to go modify that, go back the next year, and that's when Arizona got approved for statehood. At the Constitution. So out west, we have a lot of citizens' initiatives in place, but that's also why you see a lot of what you'd call controversial ballot initiatives occurring out west, because there's processes to do it. And I think a lot of organizations like SLC, we feel really strongly that the citizens' initiative process is important, but we also recognize that there are ways that it can be abused, especially with outside of Arizona interests.
All right, let's begin with the 100 series, and there are 5 on the 100 series. Let's begin with Proposition 128, the Voter Protection Act court determinations.
So, Bill, what this one is it's really, this is one of the 3 that I'd say are direct response to citizens' initiatives. And this one would allow the legislature to amend or repeal voter-approved initiatives if they are found to be unconstitutional or invalid by the Arizona Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's really, this is where the challenge of this initiative is. It implies that if there's just one section of the initiative that's found invalid, then the legislature has the ability to either change, repeal, or amend. Obviously, it's going to need to be amended in some ways to make it legal in that part. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of wide open on what the limitations, because you saw the repeal of the voter-proofed is also mentioned in there. So it is one of the three that some people believe are attack on citizens' initiatives. It's one that SALC as a whole is not really supportive of because it's so broad and it's undefined.
Because there has been this undercurrent, General, about that lawmakers don't like these initiatives.
Well, of course
they don't like the
of course they don't.
Citizens setting the laws.
Bill, if I was a legislature, I don't think I'd be fond of them either.
Yeah.
Okay, because one, the citizens in the state are allowed to send bills that have actually passed. And the ESA, the Empowerment Scholarship Account legislature from this year was an example. There was a drive to collect only 118,000 signatures to force that bill to go to the ballot. It fell short. It's not going to happen. So ESA's expansion is the law of the state of Arizona now. So if I was a legislature, I could understand why I wouldn't necessarily like it either. It's really a battle of direct democracy. You know, we're a republic. We elect officials to represent us. So there's some that don't like it on that front too. But it is truly the truest form of allowing the citizens to say what's important to them in the state and what should be go. The challenge is citizens writing state statutes. There's a lot of people that think legislators don't do a good job of writing state statutes.
Yeah.
But remember, they've got ledge counsel to advise them on doing it. The citizens write it and quite often don't go through a ledge counsel process or review. And so you get bills that have things that are flat out illegal. Look here at the minimum wage that passed in the city of Tucson. The city attorney's on record that there's parts of it he's not going to enforce because it would be illegal for him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Again, poorly written leads sometimes to poor laws, and that's one of the challenges. And this is one of those ones, Bill, because of the Voter Protection Act, which you've heard me mention several times, that may have actually been in our conversation before we came on here, but anything that's voted on by the citizens can't be changed unless it's voted on by the citizens. And so when you have potentially poor laws getting approved by the citizens and a Voter Protection Act to protect them for the legislature from changing them, there's no way to clean up something that may fundamentally be flawed. And that's one of the challenges.
Okay, a lot to cover in the hour with General Maxwell, and we're already at our first break. We want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. We love Mona's, General, because, well, everybody likes bakery goods. Judged by the lines when people are waiting for Steve and the team to open up the bakery at 6:30 in the morning. People are ready for their bakery goods. They're ready for their coffee. Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, doing breakfast, and, of course, they're doing lunch right now. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, their website. It's been newly revamped. You will be very tempted when you see all these wonderful color photographs of everything on the menu. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We're talking about the 2022 ballot initiatives and proposals. We'll have more with General Maxwell right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, talking about these initiatives. There are 10 ballot proposals. We're speaking with General Ted Maxwell, who leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO. During the break, I had a comment on Facebook about this whole process itself. Could you say, and would you say, that the initiative process would be the truest form of citizen democracy?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. As the commenter made, is this is the purest form of direct democracy. The citizens write the law, the statute, they vote on it, and it's implemented. So that's the strength of having the citizens initiative out there. The challenge is quite often those laws are, when they're written by citizens, do not really capture all the legalities of an issue or even frame them in such a manner. So now you're stuck with laws that could be challenged. So again, you know, SALC is opposed to 128 because we think it's too broad, gives the legislature too much ability to step into citizen initiatives. But there's challenges on both sides, but there's no doubt the citizen initiative process is direct democracy in action.
Okay, so far we've only covered one of the 10 proposals, Proposition 128, we talked about in the first break. This 129 initiative single subject title, as I recall, General Maxwell, there's been cases that have gone to the Supreme Court saying an initiative is too broad and really not that it covers several subjects. So now this initiative would make, you would have the single subject in the title of the initiative.
And that's the big change, Bill, on this one, is right now there's already single subject. And that's why we hear certain initiatives challenged in the courts. And this is the second of three that's directly in response to the citizen initiative. And that's why it's in the constitutional amendment category. But this one, the biggest change is it would require that the subject be listed in the title. Because too often the titles are flowery. They say something that you think everybody would support, but yeah, it really doesn't address what the law is changing. So you now have to be very specific in the title.
In other words, the title has to match the content.
Bingo. And that's probably the good part of it.
Yeah.
But the bad part of it is, again, it's going to be challenged in court a lot. And that's kind of the rub, is citizen initiatives are so hard to get through because they can always be challenged in court. And sometimes, you know, a question is, if we're changing an election law, there might be three or four pieces that are all have to do with elections. So if it says changes to election law in the state, can there be three or four different pieces to it? Or does that mean, no, each one of those has to be a separate initiative? Wow. So we already have the single subject law. What this does is forces the title to reflect it.
Okay, good. Thank you for the clarification. Now, the third of the five 100 series is 130, property tax exemptions.
So, Bill, this is one that is really, I will almost say a clarification. There used to be laws that allowed them to do this, but this, what it does is it exempts property taxes for certain sectors. I believe the military folks who are injured military, so they've been hurt in harm's way, and others, and it gives the legislature more ability to take certain pieces of property and not tax them, kind of trying to avoid that double taxation in some ways, because you're paying for taxes probably when you buy a property, and then if it's of value, you know, a car, a boat, there's some certain things, but it's not unlimited. It is limited to certain sectors and certain organizations. It's one, if you're really interested in, you should probably read. It's one that SLC did not weigh in on.
Proposition 131, this is a very interesting one because Arizona does not currently have I don't think we've ever had a lieutenant governor.
The majority of the states in the U.S. do have a lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the argument against this one is that we've never had it, we've never needed it. But when you look at 4 out of the last 10 secretary of states have ascended to the governor's seat. Some believe that it's not right when you pick a governor. Part of why you're picking the governor is because of party. Well, that doesn't mean the secretary of state's going to be the same party member. And,
exactly.
And too often, you don't hear the secretary of state running that, hey, I'm the next governor. That's just not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But what this would do is require everybody who qualifies for the ballot to declare a lieutenant governor. I believe it also goes hand-in-hand with the bill that was signed by the governor that the legislature approved that would also require for this lieutenant governor then to be placed in one of the positions of either a director of administration or a director, basically have a paid-for role, because there's no funding that comes with this to pay for the lieutenant governor. So the lieutenant governor is going to do some other job, but it will be based on their capabilities when the governor goes in and appoints his or her administration.
So there would be the current governor would designate what the title or what the lieutenant governor would do.
Where it would fit in one of those director, which positions that are government appointed.
Okay.
But what it does do is you run as a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So those who qualify for governor then hand select a lieutenant governor, and that is just like the president and vice president slate.
Yeah, you got to wonder how that will go.
Yeah, that one I think is going to be interesting to watch because there's pros and cons to it.
132, this would be number 5 in the 100 series, Proposition 132, initiates supermajority vote.
So this is one that's the third of, we said there's 3 constitutional amendments that are targeting the citizens' initiatives. This is the third one here. This originally, when it started making its way through the legislature, was to require 60% voter approval on all citizens' initiatives. As they were going through it, they realized they didn't have the required votes to get it to the ballot, so they changed it to 60% for any citizens' initiative which has effectively tax or revenue implications. So it does require 60%. So instead of 50% plus 1 of the citizens voting for it, you'd have to get 60% to pass a citizens initiative, which will have tax or revenue implications.
This one seems like it is definitely the legislature is saying we're really cautious about citizen initiatives.
Well, it's true. In its original form, it was targeting all citizens' initiatives. You know, they look at it to raise taxes, they have to have 2/3 majority. So why shouldn't the citizens have to have 2/3 majority or a supermajority? In this case, 60%. So there are other states that have this. You know, little known fact, in Florida, there was a constitutional amendment that had to do with open elections. It actually garnered more than 50% of the vote statewide, but it was below, they have a 60% cutoff for all citizens' initiatives. So it's not unique just to Arizona's proposal. I think what makes this one unique is they did focus just on the taxation piece of it.
So let's don't get into the 3 series. Let's wait until after the mid-show break for that, when we talk about the 3 propositions that are part of the 3 series. And again, the 100 series and the 300 series, would you quickly articulate that, the difference again on that, please?
Those are both legislative referrals to the ballot, but the 300 series deals with state statutes. So basically state laws, just bills, not part of the Constitution. The 100 series is constitutional amendments to the Arizona Constitution.
So generally, is 10, is that about where these have been, 10 offerings over the years, or is that about?
Bill, I don't think I've seen 10. I've been working in public policy since 2013. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But this is a lot of bills. And as we talked about before we came on the air, these are near the bottom of the ballot. Mm-hmm. They're after, all the voting and for the positions and statewide. So unless people really understand them or care to learn about them, my suggestion would be if you don't know about it, don't guess, but what you're seeing language-wise is very small pieces. Some of the initiatives are multiple pages long. Free and Fair Elections was 27 pages.
Wow.
Now, it's not on the ballot, but you can't really get in a couple hundred word summary what it means.
I wonder if people just, if they don't know anything about these, they just tend to vote no.
So they're all in your, the answer to your question is yes.
Yes.
And they're all also in your packet that's sent out to you by the state.
Right.
And sometimes the best thing to do is look and see what organizations and people have written in support of or opposed to. And you may get a sense of who it is you trust.
Okay. General Ted Maxwell sticks around. We'll have got some more propositions to cover. Let's see. We've got still half of what's on the ballot to cover. We'll take a break right here. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Midway point as we tackle trying to give our listeners some idea of what these 10 ballot propositions that they will be facing on the ballot, what they're generally all about. General Ted Maxwell is here, Southern Arizona Leadership Council president and CEO. And of course, he's a general because he had a lot of military service and led a lot of people. And his final military post was with the Arizona Air National Guard. And General, a question about the Guard. When people see all these, you know, they're out there maybe at TIA. I hope they're using TIA rather than going up to Phoenix. And they see the Guard planes taken off. It's a joint runway usage then, huh?
It is, and I always think that's one of the best things to do is sit out there and watch the F-16s take off.
Especially like at dusk or something to see that afterburner. I guess it's called an afterburner.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty eye-opening to a lot of people. And that TIA has been a great supporter of the Guard and the military out there. And a matter of fact, there's several safety reasons for them going through their new construction where they're going to build a they're going to take their smaller runway and basically make it equal length or close to equal length of the current runway. So they'll have two runways to land on. And now you can have the ability to have military ops on one side and civilian ops on the other. And you've got two runways, which is a huge safety improvement for both the military and for the civilian aircraft.
Buckmaster Show support, one of our great supporters, Green Things, Green Things 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They are still doing the parking lot sale. It was so successful last week. They've carried it over. There's some great items right there for sale right now. 13-acre site, home to Zocalo as well. Zocalo, great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. If folks are just tuning in, and that's often the case, General Maxwell, because that's kind of why I like the noon hour. It's like a mini drive time because people are in and out of the car. They're going to meetings. They maybe been at a luncheon. Why don't you summarize what we covered in the first half hour?
Well, the first half hour, Bill, we covered all the legislative referrals for Constitution amendments. There's three of them that are directed at with regards to citizens initiative process. And if you really value the citizens initiative process, I highly encourage that you get your voter pamphlet and read what those are. And again, you can take a look at who supports different items and kind of make your judgment based on how you value their opinions. I know you were talking earlier that Will Humble was on the show recently, and mm-hmm. I know he wrote a letter in opposition to that last proposition, Proposition 132, the supermajority. But there's also, you know, support for that from, you know, the Arizona Tax Research Association and others. And I think it gives you a sense.
It does. It's a very thick booklet. It doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. It comes in. Everybody that's registered to vote gets it.
Absolutely. And the one thing I would point out is don't be scared with how thick it is this year because it's really thick.
It is thick.
But the majority of those pages were with regards to free and fair election proposition, which did not make the ballot.
Wow.
So the other nine probably match the width of that one. So don't be intimidated. And the most important thing is too often voters are not informed when they go to the ballot. And so do your research, take a look at it. Because a lot of these are pretty simple, I think, just on your blush of reading the actual verbiage and then reading maybe a handful of the letters from both pro and con, I'd say take a look at both sides, will probably help you make your decision.
Proposition 308 is the first of the three in the 300 series. This has to do with education.
Yes, Bill, this is a big one that's been, it was actually had the support from the legislature, they gathered enough signatures last year to turn it in. And it has to do, it's commonly referred to as the Dreamers Bill, but it actually has to do with all high school graduates in the state of Arizona. It effectively says if you've been a resident in Arizona for 2 years, you've attended and graduated from a Arizona high school, so the state of Arizona has already invested money in you for your education, then you qualify for
in-state
tuition.
Oh.
And the big thing is it's for in-state tuition. It's not for free tuition. It's not for it's the difference of the ability to get in-state tuition here or look elsewhere outside the state. SALC is supportive of this because we believe you've invested that money in
sure.
the folks that are attending our high schools.
Mm-hmm.
And what's not very well known is the difference of the amount of income tax that a college graduate will pay working legally in the U.S. will cover the cost of what they get back from the government. Whereas those who do not, the average high school graduate does not equal their taxes paid for the year for what they get from the government. So there's a lot of good reasons you want to have folks in a position where they can contribute to our workforce. And, you know, if you want to look at it from a financial standpoint, pay more taxes to the government to help fund those services they receive.
That's eligibility, at least 2 years eligibility in one of the Arizona schools, giving you the in-state at ASU, UA, or NAU, or the community college.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it lasts, you're eligible for the in-state tuition for all 4 years.
Okay.
It's that you have to be in the state for 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
And a high school graduate.
Prior to
correct
getting into the college. Okay. That's 308. Proposition 309 is the voter ID affidavit.
So this one makes a couple changes to voter ID. As we know, election integrity has become a big mm-hmm. ordeal. This initiative would add the requirements for vote by mail. You'd have to list your date of birth and some other form of identification. Your social security number, your driver's license number, some other form of identification.
That would be, and you would do that on the mail-in ballot.
On the mail-in ballot, okay. Put it in the secured envelope, which would then go in the other secured envelope, and you'd send it in. Mm-hmm. It also changes that you can no longer use as your primary reference for proof of who you are a non-picture form of ID. In the past, you've been able to use two bills to show your residency, and if your residency matches, then you'd be given the ballot. But this
like a water bill or
a water power. Bill or power bill, and if they match the address on your ballot, you could then receive your ballot in person. This would require an actual picture ID, and multiple IDs are eligible to be used. The other thing is it also requires that ADOT through the DMV is required to give at no cost a picture ID to any citizen that comes in and asks for it.
Okay. That's Proposition 309. Prop 310, our friend Will Humble, who is our public health expert, regular contributor to the show last week, Will spoke at length why he is in favor of 310, Arizona Fire District Safety Act. He said it's a matter of really helping our rural health system.
Yeah, these allow some of the rural fire districts to basically tax or issue another tax of 0.1 sales cent.
So very small.
One-tenth of a cent on every dollar you spend.
Cup of coffee or
And it's obviously for certain business classifications. The same ones that are exempt from sales tax, they can't go out and tax that. The biggest thing for that is that 0.1 cent for rural fire districts goes a long way. It goes into their fire safety fund, and it's focused on improving their equipment, their assets, and their capability to help in times of need, whether it's somebody who's suffering from an overdose or has a heart, is having a heart attack or heart condition. Sometimes in some of these rural communities, not all rural communities, fire departments are equal.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have better equipment than others, to include some of the current technology or medications that you need to deal with some of these significant emergency situations.
All right, we're going to pause right here. When we come back, we will look then at the two citizen initiatives, the Voters Right to Know Act, which is Proposition 211, then Proposition 209. A lot of controversy about this one, the Predatory Debt Collection Protection Act. We're going to take a deep dive into those with General Ted Maxwell after we take our break on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, this would be a perfect weekend after the rains we've been having to go over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, sample a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, southwest New Mexico. That's where Silver City and Grant County are located. So their website, southwestnewmexico.org, 3-hour drive from Tucson, approximately, and it's just going to be a perfect weekend over there. They've got in downtown Silver City this weekend a big art show and sale going on, kind of a sidewalk sale. So that'd be one extra little bit of incentive to get you over there. And of course, the hiking in the Gila National Wilderness is super duper. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. There are 10. There might have been 11, but one got tossed. Ballot proposals that voters will be deciding on when those early ballots go out. General Ted Maxwell with us, president and CEO, Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We've been going over, we've hit 8 of the 10. But in case I run out of time on this, because I do want to ask you a transportation question, and Ted Maxwell is on he's the Southern Arizona representative for the Arizona State Transportation Board. The last time you were here, you were saying there may be some really big improvements to I-10. What are we waiting for that?
Well, there's the governor signed and the legislature authorized $400 million to start widening I-10, predominantly up in the vicinity, north of 347 all the way down to basically connect. The goal is to turn it all into three lanes. Part of that's we're using the $400 million to leverage a mega grant from the federal government under, the IIJA. And if we believe fairly confidently that we will get that, we hope. We're not going to be overconfident, but we've got the right folks talking to our legislative, our congressional delegation. And if we get that money, then they'll be able to do as in a single project the widening of the remainder of I-10 to three lanes. You probably won't see construction breaking ground for at least over a year. We've got to find out if we get the mega grant first, then we've got to award the contract. But the best part about it would be as a single project. It will take years. If we had to do it as two projects and had to figure out where the other 400, the 350 or 400 million would come from, it would take probably add another 4 years to this project. But if we get it going, hopefully 2.5 to 3 years from now, we'll have three lanes between the two cities.
Nice. Make things so phenomenal much easier to get up to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, there are two citizen initiatives. This is where you really had to get over 300,000 valid signatures to get on the ballot. Let's begin with Prop 211.
So Prop 211, the voters may be familiar with because it's appeared before and either on the ballot at one point, but also with enough signatures and then got determined not to have enough signatures and taken off the ballot. But it's called the Voters' Right to Know Act. And what it does is it's also considered the dark money initiative. It would require that any entity, and that's the key word, entity, so in other words, PACs or persons, that donate over $50,000 on a statewide campaign or $25,000 on local campaigns to disclose the original donors of contributions over $5,000. So right now, on a lot of PACs, you're limited. You certain requirements if you're making signage and things you have to do, but you really don't have to declare who the donors to the organization that then donated the money to the campaigns. This would require you to basically anybody or any organizations that gave more than $5,000 would have to be declared if a single entity gave more than 50 statewide or 25 locally.
This is the one, and we've had him on the show fairly recently, the former Arizona Attorney General Goddard, Terry Goddard. Terry has worked on this thing, it seems like, forever.
He has. He feels very strong that the citizens have the right to know who it is that's actually funding these campaigns. It will show not only internal state organizations or individuals who have funded, but it would also highlight how much of the money's coming from outsiders, possibly as well, into these organizations that are then funding campaigns.
All right, Proposition 209, what can you tell us about the Predatory Debt Collection Protection Act?
So it's, to me, this is one of those ones, and SALC is in opposition to this one, is an example of why you have another initiative on the law trying to say it has to be in the title. The Predatory Debt Collection Act, people go, well, that's wrong. That shouldn't be done. And they highlight it as trying to say the intent is to prevent hospital bills that get so large that are difficult for those without means to pay and having the debt collectors be predatory in nature to come after it. But the problem is it doesn't just limit hospital bills. It does have some things that limits interest rates on what a hospital can charge, has limits on how much of it you can collect, but it also changes what you can use as collateral, or not use as collateral, but what a debt collector can go after, like vehicles, homes, and other personal property. It limits them, raises the amounts of those, and then lets them erase every year. What we're concerned about it from a business perspective is we believe this will make those who are most in need sometimes to borrow money less available to cash. Because the fact of the matter is you make it difficult for a creditor to get back what they've already lent or already in a lot of the cases loaned or given to folks, you make it impossible for them to get it back. They're going to stop loaning to people who are a high risk. So it's going to make it much more difficult for those people who may really be in need to have access to those funds. So again, another perfect example of, and this was written predominantly from a union based outside of the state of Arizona, but it's another example of a citizens initiative that sounds good on its paper, but when you look at the actual verbiage throughout it, you go, there are a lot of problems to this that would be very harmful to society as a whole. It may fix what some people don't like, but it's going to create other issues. And in this case, we believe the biggest one is those who are in need, whether it's for school loans, for anything, aren't going to have access to it because creditors will no longer take that risk unless there's huge collateral that's required to be put up, which those in need may not have, or huge interest rates that they're going to pay, which they're not going to want to do. It's got the potential to create a very unsafe credit environment inside the state.
I think it has the potential to create a tremendous amount of confusion, Ted Maxwell,
well, it does.
When people see this thing.
It's as you said, Will Humble, who's even yeah. on the hospital side of it's very yeah. familiar, he also spoken mm-hmm. out against this one.
So in the remaining 2 minutes or so, let's kind of go over this again. We've got five that are the 100 series, which is, again, Ted?
That's the legislative referrals for constitutional amendments.
And then we have three that are in the 300 series.
Which is legislative referrals to the state law.
Then we have the two citizen initiatives, which are really hard to get on the ballot.
They're hard to get on the ballot, and both of them, I think, both of these two collected somewhere north of 400,000 signatures. Now, remember, for many of us, and this is the challenge, there's also been laws that are trying to change what the signature gatherers have are required to tell you, what you're required to read. Matter of fact, they just expanded the explanation from 100 words to 200 words. They have to have the bill to let you read it. But the fact of the matter is when people walk up to you and they say, do you support people being protected from predatory debt collectors? The answer is yes. Well, can you sign right here? Now, they may or may not have you read it. They may read you that they'll offer it to you. By law, they have to, so they better be offering it to you to read it. But most people just say, well, give me a summation. And it's why citizens' initiatives sometimes can be so tough.
I think you pointed out, and I think it's good advice, that book, which almost like is as thick as the way maybe the yellow pages used to look, right? It's thick. It came in the mail. A lot of people may have just put it aside, but if you've still got it there, take a quick glance.
And you'll see the language for all the initiatives and mm-hmm. the bills, and including the citizens' initiatives. And some of them are just definitions. You can skim right through that, but when you get to the part that's the meat, and then again, I would absolutely, if you want to read a couple of the ones, the arguments against, at least take a look at either the individuals or the organizations that have done it. You might find, hey, I tend to agree with that organization. Now you might do a little bit more mm-hmm. digging, whether it's pro or con. The thing that's tough, Bill, is once these pass the citizens, once the voters pass it, mm-hmm. they're protected by voter protection, and any unintended consequences
hard
that come out
undo.
Become a
hard done.
You have to go back to the voters.
All right, buckmastershow.com is our website. So if folks missed any of the hour, it's really good. Go back, and we covered all 10. All right, Ted Maxwell. Thanks, Ted. Good hour. Thank
Absolutely,
you
Bill.
Much.
Always appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of General Maxwell and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great day.